everybody. Welcome to Christ Church. We are so glad you're here with us today. Today is a message of hope. If you've ever felt lost or maybe something is just controlling you in all the wrong ways, then today is a message that Jovan is bringing, and we'd love for you to share it. Share it with family, friends, or share it on social media. Now we're going to worship, and worship with us wherever you are.
His final breath upon the cross is now alive in me. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King. Your name is victory. All praise will rise to Christ our King.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me. By your Spirit I will rise from the ashes of defeat. The resurrected resurrecting me. In your name I come alive to declare your victory. The resurrected King is resurrecting me.
Our God is alive. Everybody, welcome to Christ Church. We are so excited to have you guys on with each and every one of us. A few things I wanted you guys to do before we jump right into the message, because we got one for you today. I want you to get your coffee, get your breakfast, get whatever you got. Take a seat, grab your Bibles, because today's going to be a special, special message. Hey guys, I don't know if you guys have heard it before, but something that we often like to say here at Christ Church, share this experience. Yes, please. We believe by one share can create a story for someone else in their lives. And you know, here's the thing. Stories impact the people around us. It impacted us. It impacts us, but also impacts the people around us as well. Speaking of stories, we're going to continue that mindset moving forward in our message today. Chet spoke about it last week, and I'm going to continue and talk about it this week as well. So don't forget to share this experience. It can become someone else's breakthrough. But before I begin, guys, let me go ahead and say a prayer. Heavenly Father, we have hearts with expectations. We're expecting to hear from you today. And Lord, we pray that the words that you want to speak to us would just bring change into our lives. I pray that those who are watching online and those who are listening in at a later date, that they would just hear you. And not only would they hear you, that it would prompt them to change for you. God, I believe that you are speaking through these messages. I believe you will speak through the people that you want to speak to, and there will be change that would happen in their lives. So, Father, do what you only know how to do, which is nothing but good, and do some transformation work in the hearts of your people. In Christ's name is who I pray. Amen. Well, guys, we are in our third week of our series that we had started a few weeks ago called Homecoming, Coming Back to God. Now, today's message is an interesting one because it's a message that's going to talk about a story that you're a little bit unfamiliar with. It's interesting. Chet talked about a story last week about the prodigal son, a story that you may have heard about and listened in on. But I guarantee this story is one that you probably haven't heard. But guess what? It still carries the same power. still carries the same power because it talks about breakthrough. And today's message is about you're not too messy. You're not too messy. I found it interesting as I was listening to Pastor Beatler's message last week. I found it interesting that he brought up the topic of being lost. And I don't know about you, but I've been in that situation like he has before. I've been lost myself. And what I mean by lost, I'm talking about a loss trying to get from one place to another, from one establishment to another. But some of us have experienced loss in a different way. I'm not talking about a geographical loss. I'm talking about a spiritual loss. Some of us have been lost emotionally, relationally. And maybe the moments that you felt and knew that you were lost in those moments, you felt a bit messy. You felt a bit messy. And your mess was because it was a result of the decisions that you've made. And the decisions that you've made kept getting worse and worse and worse. And then you realize you're out of control. Let me start out by asking this question. Friends, have you ever gotten to a point where you felt that you were not in control? That you lacked control? And I'm not talking about a situation. I'm talking about you personally that you couldn't control yourself. I remember one of my favorite encounters as being a youth pastor here at Christ Church. One of my favorite encounters was when I was speaking to a young man. It was his very first time coming to our church. It was his first time ever coming to church to begin with. And he walked right up to me and he asked me this one question. He says, Pastor, Pastor. I'm like, yeah, you can just call me Jovan, dude. He says, Pastor, am I allowed to be here? And I was floored by that. Let me be honest with you. My years of being a pastor here at Christ Church, I have never been asked that question. But I was floored by that because he was asking it from a lost place. From a place where he was stuck in his mess. He began to explain to me and talk to me about the list of his bad decisions. He talked about the things that he had encountered and he went through in his past, but also the things that he's struggling with at that moment, at that time. And he asked me from a sincere place, am I allowed to be here? Pretty much he was asking, will God accept me? Will God love me? And I don't know about you, friends, but sometimes I've felt like that in my own life personally, that I've gotten so far gone, that I felt so messy, that I felt so out of control, that it started to take a toll on my relationships. It started to take a toll on my family. It started to take a toll on my faith. It started taking a toll on my well-being. And I don't know about you, but we all may have gotten to that point in our lives where we felt a little bit too messy. We felt a little bit out of control. See, here's the point of this series. The point of this series is to remind you this. The heart of Christ is to find the lost and to restore them to himself. We're going to realize in this message today, listen to this, no one and nothing is too difficult for our God. Let me say that again. No one and nothing is too difficult for our God. The mess that we've created in our lives, and we can all think about those things. Don't say them out loud because, you know, it might get a little awkward to the person sitting next to you. But we all can think about the messes that we've created, the moments where we were out of control. But guess what, friends? Did you know your mess? Still, God came after you. God wanted to reach you. So you wouldn't belong to where you're at, and he can get you to where you need to be. So today's message, I want to encourage you, the heart of God is to seek and to save the lost. This is one thing that God desires mostly, is to seek those who are far from him so they can come back to him. And in this message today, I can't wait to read it to you. Now, again, I warned you in the beginning, and I'm going to tell you a little bit now. It's a little bit of a difficult message because it's something it's a little bit unfamiliar in our day and age. But I want you to understand it still carries the same power. The power of what? That no one or nothing is too difficult for our God. I'm reading in Mark chapter 5. If you got your Bibles, I know we're a Bible reading church, right? You've been hanging out with Chet, so he's probably got you used to your Bible. So go ahead and get your physical Bible. I ain't talking about that digital Bible. I'm talking about your physical Bible. Jesus didn't preach from an iPad. You know that, right? He preached from pages. So get out your Bibles and turn with me to Mark chapter 5. It's going to be a very interesting but fun passage to preach to you guys from Mark chapter 5. Now, to kind of give you a little backstory, Mark is writing on the account of Jesus and his ministry. The work of Jesus or the ministry of Jesus, scholars believe, was about 3 years with him and his disciples. And of course, Jesus, the ministry, was to bring salvation to this world, was to do the work of the Father and to bring the kingdom to this world. Well, we're actually going to be picking up in the middle of Jesus' ministry early on. And I love Mark because Mark is a pretty much an action movie, right? The Gospels have a different tone to each and every one of them. Mark's, we can call it like an action movie. You ever seen Die Hard? One of my favorite movies. I love my boy Bruce Willis. That's my guy. Well, we could call Mark Die Hard. I guess you could. Listen, we love to have fun here at church. So I'm going to go ahead and pick up in the reading, and I'm going to break down to you. Now, here's what I want you to do. I want you to zero in on the importance of what God wants to speak through us in these passages that we're about to read. Mark chapter 5, beginning at verse 1 is where I'm going to begin. Now, they came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. Now, hold on to verse 1, because I'm coming back to verse 1. Verse 1, I believe, is the most important verse in this story. I'm going to come back to it. Believe me, I promise you, I'm coming back. But let's continue to read. It goes like this. As soon, or another translation would say, immediately as Jesus got out of the boat. Now, the way that the disciples, the way that they traveled in ministry, they traveled by boat. See, they didn't have a Tesla like Chad, but they traveled by boat. And so for in order for them to reach people and to spread the gospel, this was their way of travel. And it says this, immediately as Jesus got out of the boat, a man with an unclean spirit came out of the tombs and met him. Now, this is an interesting thing. When we see this man, and when it says unclean spirits, I want to translate it for you like this. This man had demons. Better translation would say this. He was a demoniac. Now, very, very quickly, you're probably saying to yourself, well, that's already starting off to a weird start. I get it. I understand. The first thing you think about is demons and demoniacs. It's the Emily Rose story or anything like that. But this one was a lot different. This man was messed up. We're going to read about that in just a little bit. This man was a victim of Satan's work, of the unholy one's work. This man was a man who didn't have a demon, but had many demons. But here's the truth in this, and I don't mean to scare you about this. Friends, we're no different than this guy, because we got some demons even in our own lives as well. But let's go ahead and read a little bit more, because Mark is very, very detailed when it comes to explaining the condition of this guy. He lived in the tombs, and no one was able to restrain him anymore. Not even with a chain. So the people of that day, the people of that region, they thought that in order to control this man, they thought that binding him up and keeping him out of sight, out of mind, was the best thing for him. But this man, because of his condition, he broke the chains. Because he had often been bound with shackles from the chains, and he had torn the chains apart and smashed them with shackles. And no one was strong enough to subdue him. Pretty much Mark is saying this guy was so messed up, nobody could help him. Ever had that moment in your life where you felt so messed up that nobody could help you? As a matter of fact, let me go deeper on that question. Ever got to a moment in your life where you felt like you were so messy, not only could people not help you, but you couldn't even help yourself? This is that man today. Night in day, verse 5, this is interesting. This is probably the most saddest part of this verse, of this whole entire passage. Night and day, that means all day long, among the tombs and on the mountains, he was always crying out. This is a sad moment right here. A more clear translation would say he was howling like an animal. He was crying out and cutting himself with stones. One has to ask this question, friends. How did this man get this way? How did he get to this point? I mean, Mark is very detailed to explain the man's condition. He's bleeding because he's cutting himself. He's yelling. As a matter of fact, it's recorded in the other gospels. And Matthew would tell us that this man was violent. When people would come across the road, the very first thing what he would do, he would attack them. Because the unholy one and his army had attacked him. And he was a victim. And it consumed him. And it changed him. And it changed him for the worse. Not only is that, did you read what Mark said? He's living in the tombs. We cannot skip over that. The man was hanging out in the cemetery, y'all. He was so messed up, his surroundings weren't like what we are usually accustomed to today. And not only that, we're going to read later on, this man was naked the whole time. Yes, you're probably like raising your eyebrows like, what is going on? Yes, I get it. But there's a reason why Mark puts this in his gospel. There's a reason why Mark and Matthew and Luke, who all record this, there's a reason. Because here's the thing, this man was messed up. Mark points out to us, number one, this man was self-destructive. This man was out of control, number two. Number three, he was isolated. But number four, most importantly, but sadly, he was far from God. He was far from God. So this man's condition, he was self-destructive. This man's condition, he was out of control. He was isolated, but also he was far from God. And this serves really as an example, friends. I need you to listen to this very closely. If you and I never confront our sin and our brokenness, we then will be consumed by our sin and our brokenness. Let me say that one more time. If we never confront the sin and the brokenness, there's a reason why this guy got to this point. It was decision after decision. It was mess after mess that led him down a dark path. And some friends, we know what that dark path looks like. We may not be running around naked. We may not be hanging out in cemeteries. But I can tell you right now, we have created a lifestyle of being self-destructive. We have created a lifestyle where we've gotten out of control and isolated. And to be honest with you, friends, we are furthering ourselves more and more from God. This serves as a purpose. This serves as an example that when we don't confront, we then will be consumed. And not only that, when we are consumed, we then eventually will be controlled. And the issue with sin is that it robs our identity. It robs our identity and it destroys our image. And therefore, it gets us to the point where we feel trapped. And this man is trapped. He is in bondage. Again, friends, we have to remember the unholy one. This is his job. You have a God that is for you, but you also have to understand there is someone that is against you. And his job and his goal is to keep us to a place where we're still bitter, to the place where we're addicted, we're full of lust, we're angry, we're discontent, we're prideful, and we're greedy. And when we don't confront those things in our lives, again, they consume us like they have consumed this man. And I want you to understand today, before we move on to the next verses, life's greatest battles aren't outward, but friends, they're inward. The Bible tells us that we don't wrestle, that we don't struggle against flesh and blood, meaning your wife is not your biggest problem. Your boss, they're not your greatest problem. It's the fact that we are at war. It's the fact that there is someone out to destroy us. And we have this thing in common with this guy. We need to be delivered. We need to be delivered because there are some things that are destroying our well-being, our confidence, our identity, our marriage, our relationships, our future opportunities, even our faith, to the point where we feel like we have no purpose, no meaning at all. But I want you to understand this. Mark's point of this section is to help you to understand this man had a lot of problems, and so do you. But guess what? Your problems and his problems aren't any match for Christ. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel. Our greatest problems, our greatest issues, what mom did, what dad didn't do, your first marriage, your second marriage, whatever it may have been, the greatest thing, our biggest and most destructive things about us are no match for Christ. Let's read about that in just a little bit. Mark chapter 5, let's continue on in verse 6. Now, it's picking back what he said in verse 1. He says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt before him. That is powerful. This demon that is controlling this man sees Jesus. He's controlling this man, and then he sees Jesus. And the very first thing is that he runs. Now, you got to remember the demons, the reason why he ran to him, because it was his custom. Every time people came around, he attacked them. He wanted to attack them. But when he saw Jesus, everything changed. See, I want you to remember what I talked about in verse 1? Verse 1, let's pick it back up. I'm going to go back there. They came to the other side of the sea, to the region of the Gerasenes. This is so important. This is so big for each and every one of us. I want you to hear this. Jesus came to this place for this man. Jesus and his disciples in chapter 4, at the end of it, they just went through this crazy, massive storm. Do you remember that? And Jesus is taking a powwow in the bottom of the boat. He's taking a nap, and he's sleeping and relaxing. And then there's this ridiculous storm that raises, and his disciples are like, Jesus, save us, for we are perishing. And Jesus shuts the storm up. Jesus right there proved that he was the God of creation. But also he's going to prove in this verse, he's the God of our brokenness. See, here's the thing, friends. Jesus endured the storm just to get to this man. This man's condition, Christ wasn't content with. He wasn't content with this man's condition. Maybe he had heard about him. I don't know from where, but maybe Jesus had heard about him. But only thing we need to understand that Jesus came to this place specifically and intentionally for this man because he wasn't content because of his brokenness, because of his condition. And here's the thing, friends. It's the same thing for you and I today. Christ is the content that our marriage is not the way that it needs to be. Christ is the content that we have a lifestyle that is counter to what he calls what's best for us. Christ is the content with the things that we bring into our lives, with the deception and the anger and the unwillingness to forgive. He's not content because Christ loves you too much to keep you where you are. So guess what? He meets you where you are. He came to this place to meet this man. Because God's greatest desire is this. Write this down. It might not be a note, but I want you to write this down. God's great desire for you is to be free. To be free. Jesus' desire for this man was to be free. So he went through a crazy, massive, scary storm for this man's freedom. And friends, this is nothing but a foreshadow of the cross. Because Christ endured the storm of the cross for the forgiveness and the freedom of his children, of us today. Let's continue to read on because the deliverance part, the conversion part, is super interesting. And I'm going to break it down for you, each and every one of you. Verse 6, let's continue on. When he says, when he saw Jesus from a distance, he ran and knelt down. Right? Remember, the scriptures prove true. Every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess. The demons were no match for Jesus. They were there, ready to attack. But guess what? When the presence of Jesus comes, every brokenness, every sin has to go down to his feet. And he ran and knelt down before him, and he cried out with a loud voice, "What do you have to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you before God, don't torment me." What's interesting, the demons know who Jesus is. They know who he is. They see his identity. They realize, hey, the man is here. And I don't know about you, if I could just have the same knowledge as the demons, I would be a lot better off. They knew the truth of who he was. And it continues on. For he had told them, "Come out of the man, you unclean spirit." And then Jesus makes it personal. Look at this. Because transformation happens when Christ makes it personal. Watch this. Verse 9, "What is your name?" He asked him. And the demoniac answered him, "My name is Legion, because we are many." And he begged him earnestly to send him out to the region. Verse 11, "A large herd of pigs was there feeding on the hillside. The demons begged him to send us to the pigs so that we may enter them." Verse 13, "He gave them permission." He gave them permission. "And the unclean spirits came out into the pigs. The herd and about 2,000 rushed down from a steep bank into the sea and drowned there." Interesting moment happens right there. The men who tended them ran off and reported it to the town and the countryside. The people went to see what happened. They came to Jesus and saw that the man who had been demon-possessed sitting there dressed in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it described to them what happened to the demon-possessed man and told about the pigs. Then they began to beg him to leave the region. So it's interesting. In the beginning, you see deliverance. And then towards the end of this, you see that people are asking Jesus to depart from them. Let's talk about the deliverance part. Jesus came to restore this man. See, the power of sin and brokenness corrupts and it dehumanizes us. But the power of Christ redeems and restores us. This man had a lifestyle. And another gospel said that he had been this way for a long time. And Jesus was fed up. And Jesus said, I'm coming to you. And notice that the demons, they had to ask Jesus permission. Because Jesus has authority. Friends, I want you to understand Christ has authority in our lives to change us from where we are to where we need to be. He has the power and authority to do that. Even the demons, those ones who have great power, Christ has even greater power. And he has the authority to change any of us and all of us from who we are, from where we are to where we need to be. And so Jesus tells these demons, come out. And guess what the demons do? Because that's the kind of power that Jesus has. That's the kind of authority that Jesus has. He says, come out. And so these demons come out. And a very interesting thing happens. They go into these pigs. And now these pigs, they're rushing down off the bank. And the people there, now watch this. There's the deliverance man. And then there's the people asking him to depart. The people asked him to leave. Why is that? Why would they ask this man to leave? Not only did they ask Jesus to leave, but they saw the demon-possessed guy, the guy they couldn't help, the guy they didn't free, the guy they couldn't do anything about. They saw him. They saw him there, dressed in his right mind, clothed. See, here's the thing about this man. He was under a new master. He wasn't mastered by his brokenness. He wasn't mastered by his sin. He wasn't mastered by the hard things, the things that were destroying his well-being, that were destroying his identity. He was under a greater master, the chief shepherd, the good shepherd, Jesus Christ. And the people, listen to this, the people still wanted Jesus to leave. He's a chain-breaking savior. But instead, they asked him to leave. Why is that? See, here's the thing. The lesson in this is that we should never be people that value our systems and our agenda over the lost. They were more concerned with their possession, these pigs, which they had worked, which was a part of their job and their finances. They were more concerned with their possession than this person. And I don't want to be that church that when somebody walks into the doors and they smell like cigarettes, or they walk into the door, or they smell like they just got back from Wolfie's, or whatever it may be. I want to be the church that doesn't just push them to the side, sit them in the back, have them watch in the parking lot. I want to be the church that does the thing that the Savior does, that he comes to them, that he has compassion for them, that he meets them where they're at, and therefore they can get to where they need to be. Because friends, we cannot allow ourselves to be like the people where we just hold our agendas over Christ's great work. That's what the purpose in all of this. And this man is sitting there dressed in his right mind. What man couldn't do for him, Christ did it perfectly. What man couldn't do for this guy, Jesus did it perfectly. And it continues to go on. I love this. We talked about the man's condition. Now we just talked about the man's conversion. Let's end today and talk about the man's commission. Verse 18 is where I want to end with today. Verse 18 to 20. As he was getting into the boat, the man who had been. That means past tense. That means that's not who he is anymore. The man who had been, who walked into the presence of Jesus, but now he's at a different place in his life. The man who had been demon-possessed begged him, Jesus, he begged him earnestly that he might remain with him. Because once you get a taste of Jesus, you want more and more of him. You don't want to leave. You want to continue to be with him. You want to continue to know him. You want to continue to serve him. There's something about the name of Jesus that just makes you want to just stay with him. Now, what's interesting, did you notice that the man didn't go back? No. The man wanted to be with Jesus. He didn't go back to his old habits. He didn't go back to the cemetery. He didn't go back to the tomb. No, he wanted to be with Jesus. A man who was lost in brokenness is now a man who was lost in Christ's love. Isn't that awesome? A man who was lost in his brokenness is now lost in Christ's love. And friends, you may not have the condition like this guy, but we are messy like this guy. And guess what? We can be found in this type of love today if you would trust in him. And he begged him to remain with him. But what's interesting, verse 19, Jesus actually counters that. Jesus said, Jesus did not let him, or another translation says, Jesus rebuked him. Jesus did not let him, but told him, go home to your people. Which means this wasn't the place this man was from. He was from another place. Jesus says, go home to your people and report to them, listen to this, how much the Lord has done for you. Not only that, and how he has had mercy on you. So verse 20, so he went out and began to proclaim to Decapolis how much Jesus, Lord, in verse 19, Jesus in verse 20, how much Jesus had done for him, and they all were amazed. Friends, Christ doesn't just save us, he also commissions us. He saves us to send us out, to tell our story. Remember we talked about stories earlier? And here's the thing. This man who wanted to be with Jesus, Jesus says, no, I got work for you. Go back to this place. Now, Decapolis, now what's interesting about this, history tells us, this is real cool, history tells us that this place was the center of Christianity at one point. It was the center of Christianity, and they had life groups, and they had church and Bible studies and all these things, and people were being converted in the later years. And you want to know why? Because of this man's testimony. Because here's the truth, friends. Your testimony becomes proof that Christ is enough. Your story, what God has done for you. See, we cannot glory in what we do for God. See, we should glory in what God has done for us, for where we were to where we are now, in the great power, in the great grace, in the great love that came to us, that changed us, that moved us from one way to a whole different way. See, friends, we are meant to tell that story, which means this, you got a purpose. You woke up this morning, you got that crust out of your eyes, you got a purpose. You got that crust. Listen, that you need to wake up and say, I got a purpose. And what's my purpose? To share what Christ has done for me. I will share what Jesus has done. Here's the truth, friends. We serve a chain-breaking Savior. No one and nothing is too difficult for him. It's too far from him. It reminds me of a story. I had a student who came to youth group. Remember that story I told you earlier? That same man ended up professing faith in Jesus Christ. Now, one day, he was challenged, and I told him, hey, listen, you should share your story in front of the youth. So that same man from earlier, that same young man who now living a new life, shared his story to the youth group. And he talked about the list of the addictions that he had encountered in his life. And listen to this, right after the message, a young man came running from the back all the way to the young man and I. And he asked him, how did you do it? How did you overcome addiction? How did you overcome the madness? See, here's the thing. I'm just like you. I'm stuck. I feel like I'm out of control. I feel like there's no way out. And you want to know what the young man told him? He told the young man who had came up to him, weeping and crushed. He said, Christ did all the work. He said, Christ did all the work. He says, I had nothing to do with this. And guess what, friends? The young man that came from the back to the front, crying and crushed, that evening professed faith in Jesus Christ. Why? Because somebody shared their story. How can you share your story this week, friends? How can you share your story this week? I'm not saying that you got to open up and have a Bible study. I'm talking about how can you share what Jesus has done for you and what he's continuing to do for you as well. Where he took you from to where you are now today. That is the message of the gospel. That is where we are going to make sure we are continuously talking to people more and more and more. Because friends, you have a purpose. And your purpose is that Christ came to you to redeem you and to restore you. But how are you going to share your story this week? Would you take the time and would you reach out to the church and would you talk to Chet or talk to Sarah or talk to anybody and say, listen, I feel like I got to let this out. And I want to be the one who brings change like this man brought change to this city. A city that was far from God. A city that didn't know God. A city that had no reason to understand the truth of the gospel of Christ. But this man changed it all. Why? Because he shared his story. See, friends, what would it look like if you took the initiative like this guy did and you reached out? And you shared your story. And you talked to somebody. And then we got your story to the people that need to hear it. See, I believe that's what God wants to do in our season today. Number one, we serve a chain-breaking God. He can break any chain, any addiction. But he breaks the chain so you can run free and tell the story of how he broke those chains.
The tomb where soldiers watched in vain was borrowed for 3 days. His body
If you made a commitment to Christ today, please let us know. Drop us a message in the comments, or you can make it private and DM us. We want to pray for you and be there. You know, next week, if you've ever felt that shame of messing up over and over and over again and disappointing God or disappointing someone in your life, then this is going to be a sermon that you're not going to want to miss. We hope you guys have a great week, and we'll see you next time.